Andisa, welcome to the Out of the Dark podcast. I am here with my friend Laura Williams. She is a licensed professional counselor. Mm-hmm. Hey, girl. Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. You know why I'm good?
Yes.
It's because I just got back from vacation.
Oh. Where did you go?
So, you know, we live in the Nashville area. I went 2 hours away to Chattanooga. Have you been?
Yes.
Why is it so beautiful there?
I don't know. The food is amazing.
The food was amazing.
It's amazing there. I love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so interesting. You know, I didn't grow up really going on vacations every year. Mm-hmm. And I've got a friend, and she just would always schedule out these family vacations. And I remember asking her, I was like, so wait, this is something you do every summer? And she said, yeah, don't you? And now I understand why. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Like, it was so refreshing. And, you know, I had a panic attack last month.
Yes.
It came partly, I feel, because I wasn't sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes go through these seasons where my mind is spinning and I'm doing so much.
Yes.
So much great stuff, including this podcast. And I was leading two Bible studies and I was having people over. I was trying to really embrace community in this season. And so it's all things that I love.
Yeah.
But it was too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I started sleeping like maybe 3 hours a night.
Yeah.
And I would wake up exhausted.
Yeah.
But I would have so much energy and I had so much to do. And so for about a week and a half, I was sleeping no more than 3 hours a night. And eventually, I had this big concert that aired very recently.
Ooh.
And it was not a good day for
Aww.
Me. I was really embarrassed, especially watching it back, because I could see myself spinning out. And I realized a large part of that came because I wasn't sleeping.
Yeah.
So what is it that is so important with sleep, and why does it have such an effect on ourselves, on our souls?
Yeah. Well, biologically, I mean, it when we sleep, that's how our brain heals from the day. So biologically, we have to have sleep in order for our brain to actually be able to do the work the next day. But if you look at, and now I can't remember the book, but if you look at what people have used in the past as like interrogation tactics,
right?
Lack of sleep is one of the most popular things to do to make people actually kind of go crazy.
Wow.
Yes.
That's very telling.
Mm-hmm. And it's not the period of time, like they won't keep you up for, you know, 24 or 48 hours. It's not that. It's what you're talking about. It's they'll let you sleep for an hour and then they'll wake you up. And then they'll let you sleep for 2 hours and then they wake you up.
Now, do you know why? Like, I would think it would be more dangerous to not let you sleep. But is it something like it's just teasing you a little bit?
And then it jars your brain a lot into that period of restfulness. And then you're actually kind of you wake up confused, you wake up, you know, your brain hasn't had time to officially shut down and then wake back up again. That's why sleep is so, so important.
It's so, you know, that makes me worship. Like when I think about how God created our bodies.
Yes.
And how he made this natural instinct inside of us to sleep. And, you know, I don't know much. I'm sure you know more about this than I do, but circadian rhythms and the blue light that comes from like televisions and all of these things can have an impact on our sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm imagining that there are some people listening right now and they are thinking, well, I don't sleep at all.
Yes.
What are some things that we can do in order to make sure that we're getting a healthy amount of sleep each
night? Well, you know, basics are, you know, make sure that when you eat, you're eating a few hours before you go to bed. Most people love that, and I am guilty of it. The 9:30 chocolate chip cookie, not the best choice if you're trying to get a good night's sleep.
Or where you're trying to lose some weight.
Yes, that too. we're all in the Corona 15 or whatever it is.
Not me. I've lost 15. Thank you very much.
Very good. That's awesome. But also, you know, turning your phone off, you know, longer than an hour before you go to bed.
And that is because, is that just...
That's the blue light.
The blue light. Yes. And isn't that also true of, like, television?
Yes.
Yes. I love me watching some TV before I go to bed.
I know. Okay. And that's why, you know, a lot of people love having televisions in their bedrooms, but it's one of the things that actually prevents you from getting really, really good sleep.
Okay.
My poor husband knows that we will never have a TV in our bedroom. Okay. And it's just one of those things. Now, you have to build in a practice because, of course, now we have phones, we have computers, we have iPads, we have all these other things, even the watch, right? The Apple Watch. It's, you know, it's just one more thing that we can have access to at that night. So
let me ask about that. Mm-hmm. What about, like, I like to read before I go to bed.
Yes.
But I read on my iPad.
Yes.
What about, like, the dark, you know, they've got the dark screen. Yep. Is that okay? Does that still have the blue light?
Yeah, that you can buy now. I mean, if you can go on Amazon or anywhere, you can find blue light. You can read. You can find blue light glasses.
Okay.
Yep. That you can buy that just filter it, because it is a problem because a lot of people do read on a Kindle or an iPad. They do have. We do have access to the books on there now, which we don't want to not read.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can buy like a filter to put on the screen. You can buy a filter. You know, filtered glasses which is a really nice resource to have. Yeah.
And so my therapist, she has me doing like some stretches before I go to sleep, and she wants me to diffuse like some lavender oil, and I'm just like, this sounds so wonky, but I will say this, since I started doing that, I have been sleeping better.
Yes. And here's the thing that people don't understand about it. It's they'll try it once and maybe it wouldn't work the first time.
Try what once?
Tried going to do the stretches and maybe diffusing some oils or trying a meditation or something like that. And they'll say, oh, I tried that once and it didn't work. Mm-hmm. Well, these are practice, right? And so part of having a practice means I do it over and over and over, right? And then it becomes a habit.
Yeah.
So, you know, for the one thing I would say for listeners is do it once, do it 50 times before you say that it doesn't work.
Isn't it true that to adopt a good habit, a new habit, that you should do it for 21 days?
Yes, I think so.
That's how I stopped sucking my thumb.
Really?
You know, I was 24 when I stopped sucking my thumb.
I was about 17.
You see? See? It put us together so perfectly.
Yep, exactly.
I just set out to not do it for 21 days. And after 21, I was like, I think I can do it for 21 more. And now, over 23 years later, I do not suck my thumb. Thank you very much.
There you go. I don't either. So we're...
And we got good teeth.
Yes, we do.
We're miracles. So, yes. So I finally started sleeping. Mm-hmm. I started feeling a little bit better.
Yeah.
And then I just knew that God was saying, need you to steal away with me. Mm-hmm. And let me say this, shout out to all the single ladies and all the single fellows out there, because you know what? I booked this vacation in a couple of days and I was like, I'm just going to drive to Chattanooga.
That's awesome.
And I have this freedom. I'm not saying that you married people don't, but I'm just saying there's a little bit more involved with you trying to get away.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took my dog, Kaya. We went to Chattanooga. We stayed in a pet-friendly hotel.
Love it.
We ate great food. I had some friends out there. I went and I walked by the river. Like, it was the time of my life. And I realized it's not just getting a good amount of sleep every night. There's also something about just taking some time and shutting it down and just really pursuing rest and fun and just enjoying yourself.
Yes.
So what is it about vacation that is so good for the soul?
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, when we were talking earlier, we were talking about the Sabbath, right? Yeah. And what is the purpose of Sabbath? And another word for vacation can be sabbatical, right? Mm. Which comes from Sabbath.
I never put that together.
I know. But it's so important that we have that reset. Yeah. And I love the word that you used earlier is rhythm, right? We develop a rhythm for our lives where we incorporate work and rest and play, right? Those three things are so important.
Love that.
So important. And most of the time, we just do one out of three, which is work, right?
Especially in Western culture.
Yes.
We're big on work. And when I went to Italy a couple of times, they are really, they take 3 hours.
Yes.
Is it siesta? Is that the word?
I think so.
They have 3 hour meals. And I'm just like, can we just get the food and go?
Yes.
And they sit there and they talk and they're big on family. And I'm just like, they've got something that I think that we can learn from.
Absolutely.
It's really taking some time to just be in the moment.
Yes, absolutely. And I was going to say, do they even have takeout in Italy? Probably not.
Well, because I need takeout, yeah.
Right. But that's the purpose of it, is so that we all rest and we convene and we talk and we share and we have those moments of connection around rest and fun and play, right?
It's funny you said play, because sometimes I think that that word doesn't get the respect that it deserves.
Oh, for sure.
When I think about Jesus, Jesus had a sense of humor.
Yes.
Like, his first miracle was turning water into wine.
I love it.
That Jesus was a fun guy.
Yes.
The fact that children loved to be around him, I think, says a lot about his character and who he was and his personality. Because children don't like being around fuddy-duddies.
No, they do not.
To me, that says that Jesus loves a good time. And when I'm watching my Tennessee Titans win games, I feel like Jesus is like, let's get this. And not that he likes my team over others. Like, he probably likes the Saints just because of their name.
Oh, that's true. Probably.
But I really find myself just enjoying God and having a good time playing with him. And so I love that you said that, because I think that's important.
Absolutely. And when we look at Jesus and we look at how, I mean, just not that water into wine example, but how many meals he shared, how many times he was sitting with his friends.
Sinners and tax collectors
and like everybody.
Prostitutes.
Yes.
Who you sat at a table with was very, very important, is important in Middle Eastern culture.
Yes.
And so the fact that he sat at a table and had prolonged meals with people is maybe something that we should learn from.
Yes. And I think it was part of the rhythm of his day, you know? And that's where I invite a lot of my clients to find a rhythm that works for them. And I know we were sharing too about vacation, and not, you know, these great luxury vacations don't have to be what vacation looks like.
But they can be.
But they can be. They can be. I'm looking at one right now with a friend. But yes, it can also look like I'm going to stay home for a week.
That's good.
You know, I have plenty of clients that they say, well, how can I vacation if I don't have the means? And and that's a really simple thing. You just take the time off of work and then stay home, you know?
That's really good.
Yeah. So it really isn't about where I go or what I do. It's about the rest. Am I rebooting myself?
So when you think of rest, I think that that word can mean a lot of different things to different people.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about more than sleeping.
Yes.
How would you define what is rest?
Okay. Rest, for me, rest is connecting back with the Lord and then connecting back with myself.
Okay.
And self-care gets kind of this weird angle. People think self-care is like going to get a manicure and a pedicure.
Which it can be.
It can be. It absolutely can be. But most of the time when we're doing that, we're not connecting back with ourselves. We're feeling like, do we need to talk to this person who's working on my feet? Do I need to engage? What am I thinking I'm going to do when I leave here? Oh, I got to go pick up my kids. Oh, I have to do this. I have to. And it's not actual rest. We're not actually doing anything to connect back to ourselves or connect back to our Creator.
Okay.
And those are the two things I think that separate, you know, rest, true rest, from just sleeping.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That's a great point.
Yeah.
And so that's also when we think of a Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
I have felt it very necessary to have a day of Sabbath every week. It's never something I thought of before.
Yes.
And this is more than going to church.
Mm-hmm.
This is really pursuing connecting with God.
Yes.
Never thought of it as connecting to myself. I don't even really know what that means. How do you connect to yourself?
I always say it's a beautiful way of looking through the eyes of God. Like, looking through the eyes of God into yourself.
Yeah.
What does he see? And being able to really connect on that level is what we're really talking about. Like, how does he see me?
Yeah.
How does he see me? And we can only see ourselves through his lens if we're connected with him.
That's so good, Laura. Yeah.
So,
you know, I just thought about a song that has come up lately.
Mm-hmm.
It's a song I recorded in 2011.
Okay.
It's called The Truth About Me.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, there's a chorus that says, "You say lovely, I say broken.
Mm-hmm.
I say guilty, you say forgiven. Mm-hmm. If only I believe the truth about me." And what I feel God speaking to me, especially a lot lot lately, as I'm about to hit another number on the calendar. What I feel him really wooing me with is, Mandisa, I want you to see yourself the way that I do. And there's something in me that feels like, oh no, that's prideful. And it's not. It's healthy. It's prideful when we don't see ourselves the way that God sees us. And it's all about me, me, me. But when it's really about, God, I want to see with your eyes. I think that is a healthy way of looking, not just at life, but also at yourself.
Yes, absolutely. And we can't do that in our culture where we're running, running, right? I mean, that's, it's just hard to do it. And so, and I think God knew that. Obviously, he knew when he created us that we were going to be, that we were going to be struggling with this. So he gave us the example of Sabbath. He told us, he said, I know, basically, I know what you guys are going to struggle with. So here, this is the example I'm going to set for you.
Love that.
And I want you to, you know, steal away and come with me.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because we also have the example of Jesus. When I think about, there were moments when he wanted to be with the masses. There are moments when he just wanted to be with his disciples. There are moments when he just picked his three besties. And then there are moments we see often where it says that Jesus went up to be with the Father. And to me, that's what I did when I stole away to Chattanooga with my dog and with my God. Is that I just wanted to be with him. And I came out of that week feeling so refreshed and just ready to take on what he's called me to take on. So I can highly, highly recommend taking a little vacation or staycation or just taking a good nap and eating some cronuts from Five Daughters. Like, make it happen.
Exactly. But I think what you just said is important. Make it happen. You know, when we look at Jewish culture and what they do to prepare in advance for their day of rest, they get their laundry done. They cook all their meals. They take care of everything they need to take care of on the day before so that at sundown, they start their rest.
That's so good.
And it's so good. And it does take preparedness. I mean, I think, you know, to me, in our Western culture, Sunday is like the day we race around and get everything done before we head into the week. And really, it's not. We should get all that done. Well, whatever day you do it, it doesn't have to be on Sunday. For me, it is. Where Saturday is laundry, errands, you know, cooking the food, doing whatever, so that Sunday, I don't have to think about any
of that.
That's
so good.
I get to just think about me and Jesus, and that's it.
I love that. Yeah, I think I want to be careful not to go to a place of legalism with that. Because, you know, that's what the Pharisees did. They said, well, you have to do this. And they tried to put this heavy weight on people to say, this is what a Sabbath is. You know, they yelled at Jesus because he would heal people on a Sabbath. And so for me, you know, I, this week, my Sabbath is on a Saturday. Next week, it could be on a Tuesday. Really, it's just the importance of taking time to connect. I like how you said it, to connect with yourself and to connect with God. Just pick some, set aside some time to make sure that that happens. And then maybe set aside a week or so once a year to just get away, to have some fun, and set aside some hours, preferably like 7 to 9 every day. To sleep.
To sleep.
And so let me encourage you all with this as we leave. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. This is such a well-known passage. I want to read it in the Amplified because I really want you to hear this with new ears. I want you to hear what Jesus is saying to us when he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavily burdened. And I love in the Amplified, it says, by religious rituals that provide no peace. Come on, Jesus. And Jesus says, and I will give you rest, refreshing your souls with salvation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, following as my disciple. And he patterned for us the way to do that. And he says, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And I love this promise. And you will find rest, renewal, blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear and my burden is light. Thank you, Jesus. We'll see you next time on the Out of the Dark podcast.